Paul has it right. Unfortunately, you're not done with me tonight. I'm pulling double duty. Today, we've sung some songs that I hope put you in the mind thinking of faith and what it means, because we're going to be looking at what the Bible says about faith. We're going to be looking at it in a unique way. At least, I think it's unique. But the first thing we want to take into account is the verse that is a verse that thinks says pretty clearly how says about faith in the Bible. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17, it reads, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is the New King James translation. I've looked at other translations. ESV reads, "Hearing comes by the word of Christ." Either way, it means the same thing. Christ was God here in physical form to die for our sins. And faith is the Strong's word G4102, pronounced pistis. It means conviction of the truth of anything or belief. Some of the things we know about faith are about hearing specifically. First, we look at Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "Paul, a bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, and has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior." From these three verses, we can assess God is trustworthy in that he cannot lie. His promises, which were made before time began, are eternal, and he has made his will known to us that through preaching, that we may be able to understand what he wants for us. God gave us, most importantly, Jesus, his Son, also our Savior, our King, our God, the Prince of Peace, the Living Word. So many different translations, so many different titles he wears. We see them in things, places such as Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Faith is something, put it lightly, gives us strength, courage, wisdom, and the will to go on in doing God's will, even though we have simply never seen him. We have not seen him with our own eyes, for it is said, No man may look upon the face of the living God and live. But what we have is to know that God has given us his word, his promise, that even those who died before Jesus came, they had faith in God, and faith came from God through his promises. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, goes in depth in faith, looking at people from Abel to Noah to Moses, and how their faith caused them to do actions in glorifying God, and since they saw God's promises from afar, never realized them themselves, but they saw them afar off and knew that they could trust those promises, they died in faith. And one other thing that is very important to know about faith, to start us off, is faith is something which brings unity. Not simply between us as brothers and sisters in Christ, but it unites us with God in that saving blood Jesus shed for us. We know this from Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 13. But now also, let us talk about hearing. Hearing is the word akae. In Strong's, Greek 189, akae. And it simply means the sense of hearing. Sometimes it will be referred actually as the ear itself. But if we learn faith by hearing and build it in, we also build it in many different ways. We teach, we pray, we read, we meditate on the word. And I think very uniquely, since we hear, we gain faith by hearing, we sing our faith. Half of our entire meeting on Wednesdays, and we just had the first Sunday of the month, where we go to Smart Road and spend an entire hour singing. And I would ask anyone who has been there, Doesn't it feel like your faith swells within you when you hear either a certain song or just hear all those voices just singing all these hymns taken from Scripture? I said to Paul on one of the songs, I kind of got choked up a little bit and said, that one song always does it to me. I don't know what it is. It always does. But the importance is that we must hear God's word. The importance is to hear God's word, and hearing God's word comes down to this. When we hear it, do not be distracted, and we pay attention. We see this all throughout the Bible in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 1, chapter 6 verses 3 and 4, chapter 9 verse 1, chapter 20 verse 3. All times when God said, "Hear, O Israel, hear, don't see, don't do this, hear, listen to what I am saying to you." And also in Judges 5:3, all books of the prophets speak of hearing the word of the Lord given to these prophets. And Jesus, when he walked the earth, spoke of hearing. Matthew 5:17, on the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus didn't speak these words, but on that transfiguration, those who were with Jesus heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Don't just act as you believe he wants you to. Hear what he says and do. Now, what makes my study a little different than most is this is a bit of a word study on faith, but we're going to look at what the Bible tells us on faith, not just through the Bible, but through the songs we read on him. Nope, it's no mistake I chose the same book Jack did last week as the songs of faith and praise. And I believe we can learn quite a bit from looking at songs. Obviously, we must look at the scripture they come from as well, and we will. But I find songs to be a very useful tool, but also we can learn them if we actually look at the lyrics. So if you would, have handy a faith and praise songbook as we look and see what the Bible tells us about faith. The first song and scripture we will look at is from Song 507, "Does Jesus Care?" We sang the song, "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." This is a song, it poses a question. I would think that if many of us in younger days when some of you knocked on doors, did any of you ever get the question, well, why would Jesus care? Or something along those lines, how do we know Jesus cares for us? Well, for that, let us look to the scripture that this song is taken from. Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 through 30, which reads, as in the New King James Version, this is the words of Jesus now, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And now I know these verses don't have the word faith in them at all, but this is the word of Christ. So can we still learn something about faith from his own words? I believe we can. Let's first of all, since we've gone over the passage, let us look over the words of the song as well. Starting in the first verse. "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply from mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see?" Obviously, we can see the chorus to that song where it reads, "Oh yes, he cares." But let us look at the most important parts. The proof that he cares. The question, does he care when my heart is pained? First verse that we read, "Come to me, all you are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Our faith in Jesus, which comes from Jesus, gives us, refreshes us, as resting does. We sleep in the night and we wake in the morning refreshed, ready to begin a new day. It can calm us and help us to get our strength back by resting our souls, and in so doing, it can bleed into our bodies. Faith shows us we are not alone. As in the second verse, take my yoke and learn from me. I've seen some translations, I believe, that say lean on me, or possibly some other way version says it. But one way or another, he says, learn from me. Look to me, for I am gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He is always with us, showing us the way through the words that he has said and the path he trod in the name of his Father when he said, your will, not mine, be done. And here's something I find very, very important, because, as I said, Hebrews chapter 11 talks quite thoroughly on faith and the actions that come from faith. So there are many who say, it is all faith, it's all works, and so many only get half the picture. They don't see that faith and works go together and form a solid foundation, such as Jesus when he died on the cross, through faith in his Father. Faith gives us hope and purpose. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Truth, we may have to do hard things in service to Jesus, but that service is not hard. It isn't a burden that will weigh us down and tire us out. It'll give us strength and spirit in our spirits. And the work we are called to do in his holy name is the ultimate proof that he does indeed care for us. As it says in the course of this song, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Something I think we can all stand to remember is that Jesus does care. Now, he cared. I know our songbooks say that on several songs, but I have a tendency to change cared to cares, because he's still alive, just not on this mortal plane. And he still does care for all of us in the here and now. Another song we can look at, one we actually sang. Go back to number 537, if you would. Here we are but straying pilgrims. This one actually comes from Hebrews chapter 11, specifically verse 13. That verse reads, these all died in faith, speaking of ones he had spoken before, Abel, Noah, and others before, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Thus he sang, as another song says, this earth is not my home, I'm just a passing through. The lyrics of this song, as we've sang, here we are but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe. But the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our homes forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Many, many thoughts come to my mind when I first looked over these song lyrics and the verse and realized how much they say. The first part this brings to my mind is what Jack taught last week. Faith is the key to assurance. Those people who came before Jesus and died in faith did so because they were assured of what they saw of God's promises in the far future. It gave them, and it should give us, joy and cheer when Satan's snares are all around us trying to bring us low. Hebrews 10:22 speaks on this. Also, as I said before, it comes from Hebrews 11, speaking of all in the Old Testament who were able to do incredible things. And because they had faith in those promises, And those actions acted accordingly with that faith. So faith isn't something that just... Faith is something that affects us to where we want to act, where we need to act. One verse I remember speaking of, we should be zealous for good works. We should be eager for them. As from seeing from the third verse, we can also see from this that faith is informed and intelligent. We've all heard the term blind faith. I've been told once or twice that people who believe in God basically subsist on blind faith because we can't know. And the sad fact is they don't know what we do because we have God's sure promises. God's promises are were seen before Jesus came and before we had the miracles he performed. God wants us to make the informed choice, which is why he gave us free will in the first place, so that we can choose, not simply just go by rote as the ancient Israelites did back in the ancient times. They had gotten into the rut of, they did all the sacrifices, performed all the rites, but it was mechanical. It wasn't with spirit. It wasn't with the heart that they should. So we make the informed choice to submit to the primacy of God through his son, Jesus. And this one is something that I find very interesting. And I'm going to read this from the chorus again because it's something I hadn't thought of until I read it again. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our homes forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. We've spoken on several of the titles Jesus had. Living Word, the Good Shepherd, the Prince of Peace. I had not heard that in thought about that in a while. He is the blessed giver. He gave his own blood. He gave his own power to show that he was the Son of God and that God was real and that his kingdom was now. As we see in James chapter 1 verse 17, all good gifts and all perfect gifts come from above, come from God. And God has always been a giver from the beginning. Even when Adam and Eve failed him and ate from the tree of knowledge that they were not supposed to, he still gave them. He gave them clothes made of animal skins, meaning he had to sacrifice some of the beings he created. And he loves what he creates. As he said, we are his favorites, but still he loved those creatures he had to kill so that he could give those people clothes, that they not be naked and cold. He gave them the knowledge of the plants and how to harvest, how to grow food and make bread. And all of his promises, all through the prophets, from the prophets to the Holy Spirit and even his son, he's given to us. His son and the salvation through him, I think, are the greatest gifts we have ever received from God. But I would say that faith itself is also a gift, and very, very highly up there a gift from him that we may trust and depend upon him. And it gives us so much that we can know God loves us, cares for us, and will come again to bring us back home to him. Our last song to look at this evening, one we haven't sung, but one I'm very fond of, number 469. 469. And the message here is kind of in the title, Faith is the Victory. This song comes from Hebrews chapter 11, this time just the first verse. That verse reads, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in this song, which is almost like a marching hymn, I would think, with the words used, goes as such. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they, like a whirlwind's breath, swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given, Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. And then simply, faith is the victory, faith is the victory, O glorious victory that overcomes the world. Looking at this is when I truly realized something spectacular. I had looked up the word faith, and in the New King James Version, which I have read from quite a bit this evening, it occurs 229 times. Of those 229 times, only two of them are in the Old Testament. All the rest, all 227 remainder, are in the New Testament. And that struck me pretty hard. And it made me realize something that I hadn't considered before. For this, look with me, if you will, in Galatians. Galatians, the third chapter, starting in verse 23. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. But before faith came, we were under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And that just... there's no other word for it, and the only way I can put it is that stunned me a little bit, is that there truly was little, if any, mention of faith, having faith, to God in the Old Testament. It was mainly about the law. Obey the law. Here are my laws. If you love me, keep my commandments. And these verses show pretty unrefutably, excuse me, that after faith came, obviously the law was done. Even while Jesus was alive, it wasn't in force until he had died, but he spoke of faith so much in all of the gospels about him. And so many of the epistles afterwards spoke of our faith. Faith, another thing we can take from about faith in the song and the verses I've spoken of. First two, where it says, the faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. And that brought me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In the middle of talking about putting on the whole armor of God, that verse reads, above all, the shield of faith, we take up the shield of faith, which allows us to quench all fiery darts. And it says right there, faith is the shield, and it says above all, right in the middle of it. To me, that says quite highly what God meant by what God sees of faith. It is the most important thing that we can have to armor ourselves against Satan and this world, because there are people and things in this world that will try to tear us down and say, you don't know what you're talking about, but we know. And we are willing to share what we know with all who come before us and join with us. and help everyone to understand that despite what Satan promises, it's hollow and unimportant. Finally, something that we take from faith in this is what it says in the last verse. We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. We've said in quite a few lessons that the Old Testament Israel, when Jesus came into it, they didn't want what he was offering. They wanted, as we've said so often, they wanted a conqueror. They wanted basically a warlord, someone who would drive out Rome and make Israel the power, no other way to put it, the power that it was in days of old. But they've forgotten. They had simply forgotten the promise that God made when he said, if they kept his commandments, he would prosper them, but break them and defy him, and he would take it all away. And sadly, that was the position they found themselves in. It was gone. Completely gone. But he still loved them, and that's why he sent them his son Jesus, who showed us that faith is what conquers all. We've probably heard that we've heard in fairy tale stories. We've all heard the phrase, true love conquers all. Anyone ever read a storybook to their kids or young ones and found out and heard that word in there? What truly conquers was faith in Jesus, because he had faith in his Father, that his Father's will was right, and said that his will should be done and not Jesus' own. Through our faith in Christ Jesus, we have conquered the two greatest foes that we face as Christians. As we've mentioned before, Satan, and two, and here's where it's going to hurt, ourselves, specifically our own sinful nature, which drives us to do what we know is not right, while going against what we know is good for us. Because what is not good for us, so often, it's more bright, more colorful, more fun. What we see in Romans 8:35-39, John 3:16, and other verses, that just isn't the case. John 3:16, the most famous verse that almost everyone knows, even if they don't understand the importance of it. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And something that I think that comes to my mind also with this is John 15:13. No greater love has one for another than to give up one's life for his brother. Still got a few minutes here. Does anyone have? I have the mic, but does anyone have comments? Something they would like to say of this? Bit of a shorter lesson tonight, but brothers and sisters, I thank you for the time you've given me to speak on this subject, and for helping me grow in faith and in strength as one of you, as a brother and child in Christ. We will now go our separate ways, but before we do, please join me in a word of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Gracious heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith we have in Christ Jesus. For you have given us your word and his words, his actions, his love, your promises. All these are what give us our faith. For you show us that you love us and you care for us. We go our separate ways now, but help us never to forget. Our faith binds us to one another, to you, that we may all one day be reunited in heaven when Jesus comes again. We thank you for that faith, Father, as we thank you for your Son Jesus and his sacrifice which saves us. It's in his holy name we pray. Amen.